Hello and welcome to Open Mind Radio. We are live in Laughlin, Nevada at the International UFO Congress. This is the UFO Conference, the largest in the United States. There are probably like 1,000 people here. There's something like 650 people that pre-registered. However, there are dozens of people arriving on a daily basis, registering for some of the great talks. In fact, I think right now Travis Walton is talking. If you haven't looked into his case, it's incredible. He was the subject of the movie Fire in the Sky, a Paramount smash hit about this gentleman who got abducted in the 70s. So if you haven't seen the movie, check it out. Hopefully you watched us on our live stream last night where we interviewed him and he talked about what really happened, because in this blockbuster movie, the portion where this gentleman was aboard a craft is not accurate in the movie. However, it was accurate last night from the mouth of Travis on our live streaming at openminds.tv. So remember, we're doing that every night at 7:30 Pacific, so that's 8:30 Arizona time, at openminds.tv, and you can see that live tonight. We'll be interviewing a couple of the guests as well. We'll probably have on, well, we're not positive who we're having on for sure tonight, because we're just grabbing people. We're going to try to grab Daniel Sheehan. He's a lawyer. He helped out with the Disclosure Project. That's something that you definitely have to check out if you haven't. The Disclosure Project was this process where this gentleman, Stephen Greer, got hundreds of witnesses, including many of them military, and Daniel Sheehan was a lawyer who helped him with that cause. And essentially, their goal was, hey, you know, if you're working on these secret black projects, the oath you took is illegal anyway, because they're illegal projects. So if someone comes after you for talking about what you've witnessed in the military, working on UFOs or otherwise, then he promised he would defend them. And they went out and talked, and nobody, the government never said, hey, you're not supposed to be talking about those UFOs, so, which would kind of be cool if they did, of course, because that would validate that these people really had some experiences. So that's what we're up to. There are speakers all day today. There are speakers all day tomorrow. There's also a film festival here every evening, and we will be filming live the results of the film festival tomorrow on our streaming, and that'll be the people who win the coveted EBE Award, which the filmmakers win for great work. But as usual, before we get to our guest, and I better tell you who that guest is, it's the famous Mexican ufologist Jaime Musan. He has his own television show. The guy is famous. I've gone to dinner with a guy, and people will come out of the kitchen and ask for signatures. And in the Spanish-speaking world, he is Mr. Ufology, and we will have him on in a minute. But before we do, we've got Jason McClellan back, and he is going to give us some news. Let's talk news, Jason.
Thanks, Alejandro. Let's get into the news. In Mexico, a circular or halo cloud was recently photographed over Mexico. This cloud was strikingly similar to the one seen over Russia last October. Many have speculated that these clouds are cloaked UFOs, but meteorologists explain the phenomenon with rare, naturally occurring weather behavior. In addition to the sightings in Mexico and Russia, these strange cloud formations have appeared recently in Indonesia and Romania, so all over.
Yeah, they're weird. They're weird stuff. Who's to say with clouds? But they're definitely pretty pictures to look at. We'll ask Jaime about this Mexican one.
For sure. On to China. China has its sights set on the moon. In 2020, China hopes to land its first man ever on the lunar surface. This news comes just after President Obama's cancellation of the NASA's Constellation program, the program that would have taken the U.S. back to the moon. Another space race may be developing, as both India and Japan are also planning to launch lunar missions later in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Obama essentially gave the private companies the go-ahead that they're going to help fund them to do things like go to the moon and stuff like that. So we'll see if a private company comes and bids for some sort of project like that, which would be pretty cool, because maybe then you could apply. I could apply to go out there, and I'll be able to broadcast from the moon. That would be really cool.
Let's work on that.
Yeah, for sure. We've got some inroads with some of these aerospace companies. But That'll be interesting if India and China are on the moon and then, you know, NASA's on Mars. That'd be cool.
Very cool. And in some local Arizona news, a strange light was seen in the sky over Tucson earlier this week near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Video of the daytime sighting was captured on a cell phone by a 16-year-old boy, and it shows a bright object zooming through the sky. The object was low in the sky and doesn't look like any earthly craft. TV Channel 9 in Tucson did a short story on the sighting, but was unable to determine what it was.
Yep, and we've got these links on our website. So remember, front page of openminds.tv, you've got links to all of this, including a link to the Channel 9 website where they have a video posted that you can look at and you can determine what you think yourself, and they've got their complete coverage of this situation on their website, which is pretty cool.
Definitely. I watched the video yesterday, and I've watched it a couple times since. It's kind of cool to watch this thing just zoom over the kid's head.
Yeah, and it's neat right in Tucson. Who knows what the heck that thing is? James Magaha, who is a guy who worked for the Air Force and is an astronomer, took a look at it and kind of debunked it on the news coverage Channel 9 had. He also was on Larry King when they were covering the Phoenix Lights and was debunking that. But really what he has to say is kind of, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit what you're seeing. He's saying he's not a video expert, and he is kind of talking about the video quality on this one. And then he said there were A-10s that flew over Phoenix. Those are very loud planes. Those are as loud as it gets. And I'm sure living in Phoenix, a lot of people have heard those A-10s fly over. You don't miss that. But what people described in the Phoenix Lights made no sound at all.
That's right. I grew up in the Buckeye area, and we had A-10s flying over the house all the time. Those things are loud.
Yeah, they're really loud. So, highlights from, or did you have more news before I get
into
this?
That's it for me, Alejandro.
Cool. Highlights from Laughlin. How have you been enjoying yourself, Jason?
Laughlin is fantastic. You know,
2 minutes, gentlemen, 2 minutes.
In this conference last year, and it was so exciting to come back, and you see a lot of the same people here year after year, and you just get to talk to some incredible people here.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun, and then, of course, the speakers are phenomenal. Our speaker, well, the last few guests that we've had on the radio show are here. Chuck Zukowski, Barbara Lamb,
David Sarita.
People loved last week's show with David Sarita, and he's here to reveal even more. I mean, he told us some stuff no one else had heard, and he's going to be talking about more that no one else has heard here. So it is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work for us, of course, doing our show. We're also taking over the Congress, and we are moving it to Phoenix, the home of KFNX Radio. So that's really exciting because all of you in the Phoenix metro area are going to be able to come and enjoy this yourself without having to go so far. So that's a lot of fun. We are extremely excited about that. It's difficult for us in a way because we're having to convince people who love Laughlin that you want to come to Phoenix. But you know what? Phoenix is beautiful. So that's absolutely no problem. So this is going to be wonderful to have going on in the Phoenix metro area. It's going to be at the Fort McDowell Resort, which is just gorgeous. We have a representative from the resort here who is handing out paperwork and helping us on that. So we, and now everybody else that we've talked to, is very excited about doing this in Phoenix. We'll be talking more about that, but let's go to break. After the break, we've got Jaime Musan, so stay tuned. All right, welcome back. And remember, at openminds.tv, you can also see a lot of news videos. So the news that we've got in the magazine, news pieces that we've written about, these are all encapsulated in these cool little news vignettes, and we've been taking all of them and showing them here at the Congress, and that's been quite a hit. A lot of people hanging out and watching that. But more importantly, we've got our guest here with us in my hotel room. We've got Jaime Musan. Thanks for joining us.
Alejandro, how are you?
Doing good. You've been keeping busy here, huh?
Yes, I am coming from interviewing Stan Romanek, which is an extraordinary case.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people criticize his case, but I can tell you that there is so much in this case. It's very real, and there are incredible evidence. I think people should listen to this man more carefully.
Yeah, you know, he was on our show And I had him on because he's a friend of mine. I've investigated the case. And I know people criticize it a lot because it's a lot to take. But, you know, I love that people are able to come here, see more of his evidence, so they can see for themselves and judge for themselves.
Especially talking to him. You know, you feel how honest he is. Mm-hmm. It's something I have developed. I've been a journalist for 40 years. And I can tell you when someone is telling you the truth or lying.
Right.
That's just an instinct that you develop when you are an investigative journalist for so long, like I have. And I can tell you that you can feel the honesty of this man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people should listen. I'm going to present a full hour and a half in my television show in Mexico from this interview and the evidences that he presented.
Mm-hmm.
The videos of the creatures, the extraterrestrials, are just incredible.
Yeah, and I know.
I'm very sure they are real.
I can say, you know, for myself, he did not fake those things.
No.
Even he questions maybe, you know, someone was tricking him or something, and who knows, maybe that's the case. But he did not do that. He did not.
And you also told me about the daughters.
Yeah, oh, right. His daughters are his biggest critics ever, and they're his stepdaughters, these twin girls. If you go to the house, which you should come to his house, he loves having people over, you could meet them. But they watch him like hawks, and they tell me, you know, they're watching him, and they're like, if he's faking something, they're going to catch it. Because, I mean, they don't like this stuff being in their lives, of course. It makes them different. It's traumatic. And, of course, everybody with the family wishes this wouldn't have happened. So it's not something these guys are making any money off of, really, or something that they've invited to happen to them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to present this story, and I'm going to make the follow-up, because this is just in the middle. This is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to continue happening.
Yeah. Now, how the people you've talked to who watched his talk, and it was probably, it's interesting that people are very interested in these abduction cases. Stan Romanek had a huge crowd. Everybody was there. Travis Walton talked this morning. Same thing. Those are probably the two biggest talks so far. And next, we always know that you pack the house as well. But how are people reacting to Stan's talk?
Incredibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I felt that most of the people believed in what they saw, because when you are in the presence of the witness, it's different than when you just have investigators.
Right.
That's the case in 2003 when we learned about this case. It was not presented by him.
Right.
It was presented by some experts, some scientists, even scientists. And the case was really good and really, really impressive. But this time, when you have him and you hear from him the little details, the inside story is very different. I think people should buy the book. Very soon he's going to have a documentary where you will be able to see some of the evidence that he presented here, and you will realize how important is what is going on with him, you know.
You know, another good point, too, is that people are going to be able to buy his presentation
at UFO International Congress, right?
And or at UFOCongress.com, and probably in the next couple of weeks here, you will be able to see the presentation and see all of this and judge for yourself out there.
Probably next year in Open Minds.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, next year, because we'll be taking it over and moving it to Phoenix.
This is incredible.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. So your presentation, well, actually, let's get into a little bit of your history. Now, you used to host the 60 Minutes of Mexico.
Yes, I did it from 1980 to 1995.
Mm-hmm.
The program ended with the highest ratings on the Mexican television. I don't know why it ended, probably because of political reasons.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I am happy it did, because probably I would be dead at this moment, you know.
It
was very dangerous what I did then. But at that moment, they stopped when they were going to attack a journalist in Mexico. We were somehow sacred or divine. They wouldn't dare to do anything bad to us.
Right.
But at this moment, any investigative journalist in my country is in a real danger, especially if you go around drugs or something like that, you know, narcs, and then you are putting your life in risk.
Really?
I am very sure in 60 minutes we would have done that because we were very adventurous and we didn't care about how risky it was, how dangerous it was.
Right.
And then I am very sure we would have done some very dangerous programs. And probably at this moment, I wouldn't be doing UFOs. I wouldn't be doing anything, probably caving underground.
So right now, because of the drug wars going on with the drug sellers and the government, if you talk a journalist who cover the drug war, they are under danger.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
They can
die
any day.
That's terrible.
They are dying. Mm-hmm. They are dying.
Wow.
I mean, especially in the little towns away from the cities, that's where it's more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But it could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I am very sure that they would have attacked us if we were presenting this in 60 minutes. And probably God didn't want us, I mean, he didn't want us to have that kind of destiny and... And
thank
that's
goodness.
Why we are doing something else. But that's that's real. I was in 60 Minutes for 15 years. I was a very good friend with Mike Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
I met some other people. I worked very closely with 60 Minutes in the U.S. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, we have more about your history on the first issue of our magazine that's coming out a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I saw it. Thank you very much.
Oh, did you read the article?
And no, I haven't read the article.
Okay.
I just saw it.
Okay,
and
cool.
I saw that you wrote this story.
Yeah.
I am very anxious to see it.
Yeah, I hope you like it. Because it's too late now. It's going out to print. So if you don't like it. But so from 60 Minutes, then you went into UFOs. And now your show is very popular.
Yeah, because... I never planned this, but I earned the credibility through the work I presented since 1973. As a matter of fact, I started in television in 72 until 95. That's almost 23 years presenting these journalistic stories. Then when I presented the UFO stories and the UFO investigation, after 91 and especially after 97 that I had my show, I was welcomed by the Mexican people. Even my presentation, my conferences were very crowded, very successful. And from that moment I realized that what I did before, it helped me to present something so problematic as the UFO phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't believe in it. But many people understand that when somebody who is honest is behind the investigation, probably they are receiving the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I try to do, and that's I think the connection I made to the Mexican people.
Yeah.
Most people think I am honest. Some people think that because I am presenting this phenomenon, now I am not trustable.
Mm.
But those are the less. I say that most people still believe that what I say is the truth, and that somehow I have the courage or I take the risk to present something which is going to be polemic and problematic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is. I mean, I'm behind the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking for the truth, and this is the truth. And any person who is listening to me out there and don't believe in this, okay, just try to investigate this. And I am very sure any journalist who is listening to me right
now,
just investigate this and you're going to find that this is real.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is incredible, that anybody who really looks at the facts, really looks at the evidence, you find stuff. There is a lot of great stuff out there. That's what's exciting about being a part of Open Minds, to get this information out to people. Because there's a lot there, and there's some researchers that argue that if you don't believe, you probably haven't looked too heavily into it, and that's typically the case.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... in most of the cases, people that don't believe in this is people that just... they don't think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when somebody says, this is not real, and I said, you know or you believe?
Mm-hmm.
If
right.
you know, tell me why you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you believe, I understand you believe it's not real. You see? But the thing here is not to believe or not to believe. It's to investigate. Right. It's to know or not to know. You know, and I open minds because I know John Rao is behind the scientific truth. He's looking for this. And that is why I think you're going to be very successful.
Yeah, that's what's exciting about this conference, and I think the guests we've been able to bring is that they're very credible, and I hope, you know, we've been really able to open the minds of people here in the Phoenix metro area. But we're going to take a short break, okay, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the amazing evidence that you're going to be presenting during your talk. So stay tuned. You're listening to Open Minds Radio on KFNX. All right, welcome back. This is your host, Alejandro Rojas, and you're listening to Open Minds Radio. And we're here with the famous Jaime Musan. When we went to dinner with you in Phoenix, people were coming and getting your signature, and that was happening here. There was a guy asking me throughout the week, when's Jaime coming? When's Jaime coming? So, especially in the Spanish-speaking world, you're very famous.
Well, after 40 years mm-hmm. in the television, you know, doing yeah. investigation reports, people finally knows you, and that is why, you know, I am really fortunate to be this popular.
Do you find that Americans are much more skeptical of this subject than
Absolutely.
In Mexico, really?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Americans, the English people, and there are others who are really skeptical. They have it in front of the nose, and they don't want to accept it. They don't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They just take whatever the so-called scientists say, and if the scientists say this is not true, that's mm-hmm. it. They don't need to investigate that, and anybody who believes in this is a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And they are absolutely wrong, my friend. I can
right.
tell you for sure. Because I saw two living creatures.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, where did you see this?
In May 27, mm-hmm. 1999, at the Rumorosa Sierra. I was investigating a case where three young kids were surrounded by creatures. First by UFOs and then by creatures
mm-hmm.
back in 1997. 2 years after that, almost the same date, because it happened to them the 18th of May 1997. I went there 26, 7 or something like that of May 99, and at 2 o'clock in the morning I was really exhausted. I was sleeping inside my sleeping bag, and they called me and said, Jaime, what is that? And they called me many times, and they didn't want to go out because I was very tired. And I just told them, if it's a UFO, just record it, and I will show it, I will see it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they insisted until I came out. I was a little bit mad because they didn't let me rest. And I saw a couple of very bright creatures moving
wow.
70 meters from us. I remember this guy, the guide, the man who took us there, was making a fun of all of us all the time. Oh, they are going to come for you from Mars or whatever. The extraterrestrials and so on. And when this happened, I looked for him, and he was inside his sleeping bag, and you couldn't even see his face. Next morning, I asked, what happened, Daniel, Mr. Daniel? And he said, oh, that's a revelation from God. And I said, probably it was a deer. Probably it was a big cat. And he said, not a big cat and not a deer. This is a revelation from God.
Wow.
And what do you think of that? I don't want to comment on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
And I mean, that tells you everything.
Right, right. What did these things that you saw look like? They were luminescent?
They were small.
Mm-hmm.
They were phosphorescent, like green.
Mm-hmm. So when you're pointing to the cover of Stan's book, so they did look kind of like the typical gray aliens with the big
almond-shaped
eyes. The
gray aliens, right, but they mm-hmm. look green.
Okay.
Greenish, like greenish phosphorescent.
Green. Wow, so they were glowing.
That's what I saw, especially the eyes. The
mm-hmm.
eyes look a little bit blue, but very, very bright. Like, have you seen Sirius or Venus in the sky sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. The eyes were the most startling thing from
wow.
them. I mean, so... so bright they were,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everyone saw it. I mean, mm-hmm. we were six people, and I saw it, and from that moment, if I believed in the phenomenon, that day I became absolutely, absolutely convinced. Uh-huh. I feel sorry for those who are away from this phenomenon and don't want to investigate it, don't care about it, because it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to change your life.
Yeah, that's...
And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen soon. Mm-hmm. Sooner than many people think.
Oh, you think pretty soon it's going to be so obvious that everybody
so
will know.
Something is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know what. I don't know if it's going to be a sighting or what. Something is going to happen. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
If you ask me, do you know? I tell you, no, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I've seen the development of this phenomenon. I've seen the phenomenon from very far away, little lights, little spheres,
mm-hmm.
far in the horizon. And now I see creatures, I see extraterrestrials in video, I see big craft, I mean, meters away from the camera.
Right.
It's clearly an evolution of the phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will see very soon. I mean, if this continues, something is going to happen. I've seen this year a new phenomenon, which is signs, but in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Señales en el cielo. We had signs on the ground through the crop circles from 1982, 1983, until now. We are seeing now the same stuff
mm-hmm.
in the sky.
Now, are you talking about actual kind of just craft aligned in shapes?
No.
Okay.
No. I see, for example, the big spiral that we have December the 9th in Tromsø, Norway. Everybody
gotcha.
Was amazed of that,
mm-hmm.
and then they said, oh, it was a rocket,
mm-hmm.
a missile from Russia, then everything is explained. And then the Secretary of Defense of Russia came and he said, that was not ours.
Mm-hmm.
And the Secretary of Defense from Norway came and he said, there was not a rocket from Russia. We know that as a fact. And you know what? The media didn't care about it. They never went back to see what really happened. And we found that spiral, the same phenomenon you see, they saw in the sky. We have found many petroglyphs
mm-hmm.
with these spirals. Thousands of years of age,
right,
or
right.
5,000 years, 3,000 years. And you can see this in stone.
Right, throughout the Southwest in
exactly.
America here, there are
and let
tons
me tell
of
you, the, February 18th, 2010, we had two spirals in the sky with auroras with the shape of spirals.
Mm-hmm.
You never seen something like that before.
Where was that?
And this is the first time it happened in two minutes. In Finland
mm-hmm.
and in Norway, as a matter of fact, in Tromsø, the same city where we had the original spiral back in December 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the same phenomenon in 2010, the February 18th. And you have it in two places which are probably 600 to 700 miles apart, at least.
Yeah.
How can you have this phenomenon? I mean, you don't have spirals. You don't have aurora making these circles in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
There is none recorded so far. These are the first two known. I don't know if somebody has a picture
known
from
spirals.
The past or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But known, this is the first time. And it's incredible that we have both at the same time. And something else happened. At the same time that we had the spiral, December the 9th, 2010, we had this pyramid recorded over Moscow, over the Kremlin.
Oh, right. That was amazing. We posted that story as well.
The story is fascinating. I know there were many people tried to hoax something similar
mm-hmm.
after that was presented. But the original video, unfortunately, we don't know who recorded this.
Yep.
Well, we have seen it and analyzed it, the video, the cell video that was taken from the car in the Red Square.
Let's talk more about that. And I also want to ask you about another news piece that we covered today, which was a halo, cloud halo, that was seen in Mexico, and people have been seeing those throughout the world as well. So we want to talk more about that. We've got a break coming up here, and we'll come back with Jaime Musan. Talk about these strange shapes in the sky. Stay tuned. Open Minds Radio. All right, you're back. This is Alejandro Rojas with Open Minds Radio. And before we went to break, and I do want to mention another guy in the room is Santiago Iturria, a guy you've been working with for quite a bit, and he does these presentations at the Congress with
you. I respect very much Santiago Iturria.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He has been an incredible collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
He has helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's very important to the organization that we have created in Mexico. He is he's a real expert. He can find very easily when something is real or if it's not real. And it's very important for this kind of organization to have someone like Santiago, because when you don't know something about some image, you can be easily fooled,
mm-hmm.
you know? But fortunately, he has a big history and record of all the cases that have been presented over the last 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and sometimes, for example, let me give you an example. I think it was Romania, they presented, Bulgaria. They presented a video supposedly taken by a little kid, mm-hmm. 8 years old. And you can see two hands in the sky, clearly, and you say, wow, and this little kid took this video, wow, was presented by the news in Bulgari, wow, this has to be real, and the mother talking about this,
mm-hmm.
and you are, and then I send all of this and tell me, what do you think of this, and he has the story, this was created 4 or 5 years ago, and he knows who did it, how he did it, etc., 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 then, poor people from the Bulgari news, because they didn't know they were fooled, but they were fooled by a little boy and his mother. That's incredible.
Wow.
But
yeah.
This happens all the time.
Yeah.
And now when you have all these cybernetics, you have all these computers,
yeah.
It's very easy to be fooled. That's why for us it's very important to know who is the witness.
Yeah.
Who else was there? What do we have here? For example, we have a picture that we are going to release tomorrow here in the UFO Congress,
mm-hmm.
where you will be able to see a pyramid, the Chichen Itza pyramid, the very famous pyramid, the Mayan pyramid, July 24th, 2 o'clock and 31 seconds, a family, the Siliesan Hernandez family, Hector Siliesan, Glenda Hernandez,
right.
and their two daughters, Destiny and Caroline.
They took a picture of something?
They took a picture
mm-hmm.
of this pyramid because it was raining. They saw lighting behind the pyramid. And then this man put the daughters in front of the pyramid to have the pyramid and a lighting striking or cutting the sky, you know? Beautiful picture to make
right.
a photo or something, you know? And then, when he did that, he got the light in the back. Well, it's not very impressive. But then, from the pyramid, from the roof of the pyramid, you can see a tunnel of light going to the sky.
Wow.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Alejandro, amazing.
Yeah.
If well, I tell you, I cannot make justice of my description to the incredible evidence that this is. This is one of the best things I have ever seen. We know the names of the people who took it. We have the pictures, and they were taken with the iPhone, and that way we have the GPS. We know exactly where it was taken, in the exact position on the air where this was taken, in the direction it was taken. We have witnesses. We found what witness that was there, who is a very famous anchor in the Mexican television. And besides that, very skeptic. He's
mm-hmm.
like Philip Klaas, you know. He's a debunker. He makes fun of anybody.
Well, and what does he everybody. Think about the picture?
He said, I was there when this was taken.
Mm-hmm.
I found him because this family told me there was a famous man from Televisa. And I looked mm-hmm. through the descriptions and I took Google. And we found the picture. And is this the man? Yes, he's the man. Oh, it's René Franco. Okay, I was going to call René Franco, and coincidentally, he called me to invite me to his show to make fun of me again or something, you know. And then I said, okay, René, were you there? Were you in Chichen Itza, July 24? Yes. And he said, before I asked, and I saw a picture that Amon took there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, and then you saw it. And then you know what I'm talking about.
So and people saw said, this light coming said, from the...
Yes, I saw it. I was there. And he declared that in the television show. And he accepted plenty. Yes, Jaime, for the first time, we agree in something. I saw the picture, and I know the picture is real. I don't know what the picture means. I don't know what is this. I don't think it's extraterrestrial. I don't think that whatever. Well, he said that the picture is real. Wait until you see that picture.
Mm-hmm. Now,
probably
do you...
it's going to be the cover of your second issue, probably.
Hey, sounds good. I can't wait to see it. Now... do you think there's a Mayan connection? You're talking about all these signs and stuff.
It's a lot of meaning behind that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means that these Mayans have technology from the past, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from in the past from extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other way I can explain this. Probably it's a natural phenomenon. But for me, has to be something else. I mean, we can debate on this. You can say, no, this is because of the lighting in the back. Then the energy comes under the ground and is released through the
pyramid.
I don't know. It's a pulse because it didn't last 1/100 of a second. It didn't last. Okay, it's like this and that's it.
Well, but there are.
We're watching. You see something like a flash and that's it.
That's incredible. I can't wait to see it. And it seems like there are a lot of sightings in Mexico, much more than in the United States.
Else.
And
yes.
You're getting videos. You're getting.
Yeah.
You're getting pictures.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Probably that picture in the pyramid explains that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably there is a relation from the past. Probably we were together with this. Probably they came to see their friends or the sons of their friends from the past. I don't know. Because we were astronomers. Probably because we have so many magnetic mountains. Who knows? Probably because we don't attack them.
Yeah, that's one theory I've heard.
Of all these reasons together, the thing is that we have incredible sightings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to present tomorrow here, if the people can come, because I know they're listening to us in Phoenix. I tell you, Santiago Iturria and myself will be giving this presentation 1 o'clock tomorrow here at the Aquarius Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you... want to know, you shouldn't miss this presentation.
Yeah.
Because the full 2 hours that we were given are going to be used to present evidence. One after the other. Santiago even brought us the last images from the last mission, the STS-130 that just finished. What, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday?
A couple of days ago.
Five days ago. But... we have the images. UFOs around it. I mean, it's amazing. We
UFOs from the last NASA mission.
Yeah, it's 5 days ago. And, you're
showing this tomorrow, too.
Yes.
So you're right. There's plenty of time to get here, especially from Phoenix, you know. You
it's
could leave after work. Yeah, it's 4 hours.
No, it's 4 hours.
You
no,
could leave early in the morning.
Yeah, well, I think they should, whatever.
Yeah.
If they can, they should, because this is not presented by the American media. That's all I can tell.
Mm-hmm. So the Congress, you've been going to the Congress for quite some time. And the Congress is about the only American venue and it's like the only American venue where you come doing an English presentation. Why do you think the Congress is so important?
This Congress is the most important for me from all the United States. It's the most serious. They make a good effort to bring very objective people, the investigators, and for me, it's the most credible event.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in many. Don't get confused. I know many other events, but this is my favorite from all.
Great.
It's the only one that I put time in. I receive invitations all the time to other events, but I never go because I don't feel comfortable.
And you're definitely going to join us next year in Phoenix then, huh?
If you invite me, yeah.
Oh,
I'll
yeah, definitely. Got to have Jaime for the 20th anniversary.
He's there, probably Santiago too.
All right, perfect. We love to have him as well. Yeah, I've interviewed him before on YouTube, and it was awesome. And we're going to interview him later today for our live show.
Yeah.
So really excited about that, and really excited to talk to you. What else? What is the other big, amazing thing that you're going to present at your talk?
Oh, there's so much more. We have this video from May 22nd, 2009,
mm-hmm.
where you can see an object releasing hundreds of spheres in both sides.
Oh, that's amazing video. I've seen some of it.
There are two.
Yep.
And there are two of the same kind. I mean, two different witnesses recorded the same event at the same time.
Right. Know?
And this is amazing because you will see hundreds of spheres being released by a small object. How can that be? Nobody has been able to explain that. But this is an amazing and real video because you have two videos recorded at the same time.
Right.
And that's very, very seldom.
Well, it looks like we're out of time. So
okay.
Join us next week.
30
we'll have
seconds.
The new boss for MUFON, Clifford Cliff, and we'll be talking to him about the direction he wants to go with that. And hopefully, I know there's been some bridges that need to be rebuilt with MUFON and I.
After the bad experience of James Caron, I have to.
So hopefully, he'll be able to fix that up. But thanks for joining us. Join us next week. Get in your car. Come down and say
Five
hello.
Seconds.
So come to the Congress. Thanks for joining us on Open Minds Radio.